بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد، يا أيها الذين آمنوا، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن العظيم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، اعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب وأن الله غفور رحيم. اعلموا أن الله شديد العقاب وأن الله غفور رحيم. شديد العقاب، غفور رحيم. اعلموا 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 ان الله شديد العقاب وان الله غفور رحيم. Brothers and sisters, we praise Allah on this day, the day of gathering, and we're very thankful to Allah for giving us the wisdom to praise Him. We thank Allah for giving us these 40 years, 40 such years, myself and those of you, 40, 50 years, or 20 years, or 15 years, or 12 years. Thank Allah for those years. You don't know when it's over. So be grateful for the life that you've lived. And ask Allah that you die only as a believer. We thank Allah for guiding us to Islam. We are very fortunate to be Muslim. There are over some 5 billion people on this earth who don't believe as we do. They're Hindus, they're Buddhists, they're Christians and Jews, they're atheists. About a billion atheists and agnostics around the world who believe in nothing. Thank Allah that you believe and you're blessed. And we trust Allah. And thank Allah that you are of those who love the Quran and believe in the Quran and trust all of the Quran as the word of Allah. For there are those who call themselves Muslims who don't trust all of the book. They take some from this part and some from that part. But thanks be to Allah, you are the people who believe in all of the book. From Al-Fatiha and to An-Nas, from the beginning to end, thanks be to Allah that you believe, and I believe in every word of the Quran as the word of Allah. Thanks be to Allah for the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sunnah. Those who follow Jesus, they don't know what Jesus said, even after reading their Bible. But you, a Muslim, know what Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said by reading the Quran. Thanks be to Allah for having the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the example of his Sahaba. So we can see people who followed a man worthy of following. Yes, they have a lot to be thankful for. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon His Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and his family and his companions, all of them. And may Allah guide us. Brothers and sisters, I was last Sunday in the city of Dallas, Texas. And I was speaking to this large Muslim audience. And I asked them the question, I'm going to ask you the same question. If you could choose to be any of the Sahaba, who would you choose to be? Predictably, so many of them said, I would be Abu Bakr. Some said, I would be Umar. I would be Ali. Some said I would be Khadija, I would be Aisha, some said I would be Fatima. And everyone gave their predictable answers of which Sahaba they would be. Well, I guess I surprised them when I said that if I had an opportunity of choosing all the Sahaba, who would I choose to be? I said I would choose to be Ukasha ibn Muhsin. Most of them said, who? They don't know, like you. Some of you said, don't know Ukasha. Who Ukasha? Why, Imam Siraj, of all of the Sahaba, you choose Ukasha? Why? He wasn't never Khalifa. Yes, he was one of the earlier Sahaba who became Muslim. He participated in the Battle of Badr. But you don't read many things about him. In all of Muslim hadith, you read maybe 4 or 5 hadith concerning him. So why I choose Ukasha ibn Mihsin? Because this man, alhamdulillah, radiallahu, and may Allah be pleased with him, helped me to put my own life in perspective. And I hope to do the same thing for you today, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, I am trying my best to give talks now very briefly. Allah is my witness, I try in my mind. I just want to speak to you for a few moments. I know I'm not going to do it because of my own inability. I just want to say a few words to you and I ask Allah to help me to do it, but that you get the point. I met a young girl I've known for many years in the West Coast, a very sweet sister. Whenever I gave a lecture anywhere in the West Coast, she would be there, young sister. She said to me one day, she said, Imam Siraj, you know, she was a born Muslim. She migrated from her country to America with her parents. She said, Imam, I am the kind of person who used to think definitely I was going to Jannah. Definitely. I'm going to Jannah really with and very confident. She said that she heard a lecture by the great Imam Hamza Yusuf. And she said after the lecture, she came and said, you know what? She told me, I used to think that I was going to Jannah, but after listening to his lecture and obtaining knowledge, she said, if I don't get myself together, I'm going straight to hell. And it is with this that I'm going to speak to you today, inshallah. I must admit to you that there are some times in my life that I feel, alhamdulillah, very confident of going to Jannah. This is how I feel, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless me to go to Jannah, but to feel confident. But now I'm not so confident. The verse is going to be the topic of my discussion. I read once a book and a man said that the greatest knowledge that a person can have is the knowledge of themselves. And I disagree with that. For I feel the greatest knowledge that a person can have is the knowledge of Allah. And if you learn nothing else in your life, learn about Allah. Know Allah. The topic of today's discussion is, interesting enough, I was on the plane coming from Great Britain last night. 8-hour flight. And I love to study. So this was like heaven for me. I was preparing for my class. And I thought about this verse in the Quran. I said, you know, tomorrow in the Jummah khutbah, I'm going to mention this verse. But before I do that, I'm talking to myself. I'm looking for an ayat for my class. I go to the ayat. And I didn't know the very next verse is the verse I'm thinking about. I said, SubhanAllah. All right? So I write the verse down. Then I land at the airport. I get in my car. And in the cassette is a tape of Quran. Right? Last night. I turn it on, and guess what? Wallahi. The same ayat. Wallahi. I said, yeah. This always happens to me. And I said, yeah. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. You should know that Allah is very severe in punishment. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. But at the same time, Allah is forgiving and is merciful. And I think that this verse gives Muslims the right attitude about the Akhirah. On the one hand, you would want to be hopeful that Allah would forgive us our sins. But on the other hand, we want to be full of fear and never think that you got it made. And ask Allah to have mercy upon you, that no matter how much salat you make and zakat that you give and fasting for the month of Ramadan, trust me, if Allah wanted to punish us all, He could, and be very severe in His punishment. So what I wanted to do today, brothers and sisters, is to give us a good balance of how we should feel in relation to the Akhirah, and I want to bring some substantiation from Quran and Sunnah why we should feel this way. Occasion. You know, there was a hadith that I'd read before, and I've even mentioned this hadith on this minbar. But it seems as if the more you read hadith or ayahs from Quran, even years later, you get more insight, more wisdom. Listen to this hadith. The Prophet alayhi salat wa salam said that he was shown all of the ummah, the umam, the different prophets, right? And some prophets had a large number of people following them. He says, yet some prophets only had two people following them. Just two followers. He says, some prophets even had one, and some prophets had none. And then he was shown a great multitude, and waqila ali, he said, and it was said to me, hadhihi ummatuka, this is your ummah. Wa ma'hum sab'un alfa yadkhuluna al-jannah bighayri hisab wa la adhab. And he said, among your great multitude of your ummah, among them would be 70,000. And these 70,000 will enter Jannah with no accounting and no punishment. Let's think about that for a moment. All this multitude, right? Yawm al-Qiyamah. And we know right now there are approximately 1,300,000,000 followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's now. So this big ummah, وَمَعْهُمْ سَبْعُونَ عَلْفَ, only 70,000. يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. And they will enter Jannah with no accounting at all. What did you do then? What did you that day? What did you do about your salat? What did you do about this? None of that. No punishment. فَقَامَ أُقَاسَ إِبْنْ مِسْنْ. And this person, Uqaysha, he stood up and said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُذُوا اللَّهِ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مِنْهُمْ. Oh, Messenger, please make dua that I be one of those 70,000. And the Prophet said in this hadith, Anta minhum. You are one of them. Be whoever you want to be. But I'd rather be that man than go to Jannah. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ. Don't ask me any questions. But if only 70,000 will go to Jannah, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ, what about all the other millions and billions of followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What will happen to the rest of them? فقام آخر, another one stood up and said, يا رسول الله أدعو الله أن يجعلني منهم.
Let me do the same thing.
Oh messenger, please make dua that I be one of them. And you see the wisdom of the prophet, he said, سبقك أكاشا بها أكاشا. He said, أكاشا, because of his dua, he prevented you. Huh? Because he's first. She said, well, how Allah does things sometimes, because of the confidence of the man, he believes in the Prophet. Oh, Prophet, ya Rasulullah, please make me one of them. Anta minhum. Immediately, anta minhum. But then a second later, me too. Too late. Now, this hadith opened my eyes. Yes, this hadith opened my eyes. I was blind, man. And I think most of us are blind. You know why I say this? Honestly, lately I've been feeling very bad about our condition, the ummah, really. I cannot tell you how it's remarkable that a Muslim in 1997 can do the things that they do. How can a Muslim man sleep with the underage daughter of his wife? What are you thinking, brother? How can a man sleep with his own daughter? Muslim! How can a Muslim rob another Muslim? How can a Muslim murder a Muslim? There are brothers who live with women and not their wives. They commit zina almost every day, Allahu Alam. And it's okay, and they come next to God. There are Muslims who don't pray five times a day. They never make fajr. They never make fajr, never. They'll ever make fajr. I know Muslims tell me, Imam, I make salat two times a day. Some will tell you, I haven't made prayer 5 years. And all these Muslims come to Jummah prayer. Millions of Muslims miss it every week without an excuse. So busy making money, don't have time to bow down to Allah. So busy with your girlfriends, don't have time to get married. So busy. Because you know why? In your mind, you're going to Jannah, you're Muslim. I got some news for you, buddy. Today, I'm going to wake you up like I feel like I'm awoken, inshallah. And the purpose of this talk is to shake you up. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to shake you up. Bi-ibnillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we foolishly want to be other than what we are. When I go around the country and I talk about this jama'ah here, Masjid al-Taqwa, and many of the other indigenous Muslim masjids around the country, they know that this masjid is relatively poor. You're not a rich masjid. You don't have a lot of money. I'm embarrassed sometimes how much money you put in the collection pot. Like, either you're very stingy and you don't understand, or you're very poor. And I think it's a combination of that. I can list you a long list of Muslims in this city on social service, public assistance. Brothers and sisters, I can count a number of Muslims living in shelters. Poor. I can count the number of immigrant Muslims who drive cabs. Brothers who sell oils, merchants in the street. So we don't have a lot of doctors in the community. We don't have a lot of rich people. But we have some who Allah bless them. They believe and they give their sadaqah, whatever they can give, but basically it's a poor community. I'm saying to you that I know if it was up to you, you'd be rich and you have a lot of money. And I know that if you had a lot of money, you would donate it to the masjid and you'd build another masjid. It may be years before we build this masjid.
if I just wait for you and myself to come out of our pockets and build it. So, but I know that if it was up to you, you say, Allah, give me all this money so that I could, you know, be so nice and generous that I can give away sadaqah. But I'm telling you now, don't be so quick. You see, brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ said, يَدْخُلْ فُقَرَ الْجَنَّةَ قَبْلَ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنْ خَمْسَ مِيَةٍ عَامٍ. The poor people were into Jannah 500 years before rich people. Now you've heard that hadith before. So 500 years, so what? I'll wait. I'd rather be rich and I'll wait my 500 years. See, that would be nice if you're chilling out for 500 years. But you won't be chilling for 500 years. You wish you were poor. See? So be careful what you want, you ask for. I know Muslims, millionaires, millionaires. Allah blessed them with a lot of wealth. I feel sorry for them if they don't give it away for Allah. Yeah, I feel sorry. So you think Allah deprived you of something? I don't have enough. I don't have a lot of money. I want money. I need money. I want this. I want a bigger house. I want a bigger car. I want some more clothing. I want this and I want that. I want more. Be thankful to Allah what you got, because He just may give it to you. I don't mind having money. Yeah. Be able to do some of the things I want to do, it's good. But I'm going to be thankful to Allah what I have. Why rich people are going to take so long to go to Jannah? قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لَا تَزُودُ قَدْرَ مِنْ عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْأَلْ حَتَّى يُسْأَلْ حَتَّى يُسْأَلْ. Your feet of the servants of Allah won't move يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, the day of judgment. You're not going to move until you ask some questions. Some of you want to live a long life? You fool. Because the longer you live, the more accountability you have with your life. Yeah. The longer you live, the more accountability you have with your life. You're not going to move until you ask. An malihi. Min ayna iktasaba. How did you earn your wealth? Rich man, you Ted Turner. You have all those billions of dollars. You're the envy of the people of the world. People want to have Ted Turner money so he can donate $1 billion. Oh, Teddy, where you get the money from? Oh, America, $1 trillion, multi-trillion-dollar gross national product. Where'd you get your money? Oh, great corporations on Wall Street. How did you earn your money? Because in Yom Kiyamah, Allah going to ask you about it. Well, how much are you going to ask about it? Well, may ya'mal mithqala dharratin sharran yarah. Whoever does an atom's weight of evil shall see it. Oh, what a book this is. It doesn't leave out no details. Everything you did is in your book. You hear what I said? Everything you did is in your book. Every thought you had is in your book. You thought you were getting away? You thought Allah forgot? He didn't forget anything. Yeah. Everything's written in the book. Yeah. Got angels recording. He missed a lot that day. Why you miss a lot? What were you doing that you missed a lot? He was with Susie. What was he doing? He was in a crack house. He was in a prostitution house and he missed his prayer. It's written in the book. Going to be confronting Yom Al-Qiyamah. See, إِلَّمُوا أَنَ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ. Know that Allah is severe punishment. You see, brothers and sisters, see Allah, you know Allah's punishment is severe? Because His punishment is not like the punishment here. You read about the punishment here, how people shoot somebody, murder somebody, shoot somebody in the head 10 times, drown people, cut people up, throw people in fires. That's light. That's light, brothers. You know why that's light? Because no matter how much they punish you, you're going to die. So you human being, you can't take that much. So let's say somebody started punishing you, right? Start torturing you. It's horrible. But wallahi, I'd rather be tortured my whole life here than get it in the hereafter. Why? Because Allah shadidul iqab, Allah is so severe in his punishment, you cannot even imagine. And I'm going to give you just a taste of it. See, because I'm saying that all you righteous, pious Muslims who think you got it made, I'm saying consider. Just consider this. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, لَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْمُؤْمِنُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْعُقُوبَةِ مَقَانَةَ جَنَّتِهِ أَحَدٍ. See? See, knowledge is important. You have to know Allah. See, because if this hadith, Rawayhu Muslim, if the believer knew the extent of Allah's punishment, if he knows, see, you know how bad it was, not one believer would even hope, oh man, forget it, I can't make it. I can't, there's no way for me. I'm going to show you why in a few seconds. See? But then he balanced it out. وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُ الْكَافِرُ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. See, and if the disbeliever knew the extent of Allah's mercy, none of them would despair of going to paradise. Can you imagine these kafirs, right, do anything they want to do? They have their paradise on earth. If they knew Allah's extent of his mercy, they say, oh man, shoot, man, I got it, man. It's easy. So you know what Allah does? He makes you like this. Bainahuma. Bainahuma. Oh, am I going to Jannah? There's a chance. Oh man. Oh man. Oh, there's a chance. Oh man. There's a chance. Oh. See? You can't figure him out. Like you anticipate, you can figure your wife out, right? But you can't figure out Allah. You can figure out your children, but you can't figure out Allah. He keep you don't know where you're going, man. You don't know where you're going. And don't you be so cocky and so confident. Hey, I'm going to Jannah, man. Allahu Alam. Ya Rab, please help us to get to Jannah. In my conclusion, here it is. Poor people go to Jannah 500 years before rich people. What's happening those 500 years? Now, let's think for a minute, 500 years. The average life expectancy in America is like 70 years, 71 years. Right? So it's like living 71 years and 71 years and 71 years and 71 years. Huh? 7 lifetimes, 500 years. It's a long time. 500 years. You're waiting around. But what you doing while you waiting around, sitting on a chair watching TV? Not there. I don't think so. Now, brother and sister, here I come in my conclusion. If you ask any Muslim, what's the most important pillar? All of them will say salah. من تركها فقد كفر. The prophet said kafir. من تركها فقد كفر. Whoever leaves this salah, disbelieve. You didn't say that about any other of the pillars except for salah. So it's just salah. Any Muslim will tell you, do study, say, on Yom Al-Qiyamah, the first thing you're going to be judged on is the salah. Awwala. The first is salah. And if the salah is sahih, then all the other good deeds will be good. You're going to be judged first by your salah. You make your salah 5 times a day because this is the test now. See, you Muslim, so you're so stupid. You hide from your parents, so hope they don't see me, so I don't have to make salah. Hope she don't wake me up. Hope he don't wake me up, so I don't have to make that salah. You fool. Who fool? You beg one day for your parents to have woken you up for salah. So then the Prophet said to Layla Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that after Allah judges the fard, he's going to send somebody to check the sunnah, see if they did any extra, and make up for some deficiency they have. So those who like to, make the, I did the fard, assalamu alaikum, get up and go, If I were you, I'd sit down, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, make dua, say subhanAllah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, alhamdulillah 33 times, sit down and make dua. Don't get up and run out of the masjid. Sit down and take some time with your Lord, reflecting, making dua, making dhikra. You're going to need those. You're going to, Yawm al-Qiyamah, when you're sitting waiting, no person about to get executed, how they sweat? Man, sweat going to come up to the eye. Why are you sweating? Because you know what you did. And the book has everything in it. إِعْلَمُوا أَنَ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. Know that Allah is severe in punishment. So, salat. Right? Someone in Jannah will ask the people in hell, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَخَرْ. How'd you get in hell? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوْ مِنَ مُصَلِّينَ. We of those who didn't make salat. Muslims. See, because you're not talking about mushriks here. See, mushriks, their punishment is their shirk. Yeah, asking about salat. You don't ask a mushrik about salat. He hasn't got the first base yet. So these people here in hellfire, guess where they are, right? But let's not talk. Let's put salat aside for a second. And this is my, all that I said today is to get to this hadith, and then we close. And I must admit, that it frightens me. And guess what? I wanted to frighten you also. When you get a chance, read in Al-Bukhari Hadith and Muslim Hadith in Kitab al-Zakah. In Kitab al-Zakah, the chapter of the Zakat. Buniya al-Islam al-Khams. Islam is built on five things. One of them is Zakat. The one we don't speak about much. Prophet Muhammad said, that any Muslim who has gold or silver and does not pay zakat, that gold and silver will be melted on Yawm al-Qiyamah in the fire of hell. And then it will be formed into a slab. And the person will be branded on his forehead, his side, and his back. And when the slab is cooled, it will be again placed in the fire of hell until it becomes so hot. And then they will be branded on the forehead, on the side, and the back. And then when it cools, it will be heated up again in the fire of hell until it becomes so hot that they'll be branded on the forehead, the side, and the back. And when it cools, it be heated up again. How long? 50,000 years. And then Allah will put them in Jannah or hell. You don't even get it, man. You're a Muslim and didn't pay zakat. 50,000 years. Count them. You think Jannah's cheap. God going to Jannah. And you don't got it. You know what Jannah is? You know what paradise is? That's the ultimate. You see Allah. All happiness, all joy, all this. You think you want to get it, man? You run around committing fornication and adultery? You run around sleeping with your own daughter? You think you want to get it? And the person didn't pay zakat, look at the punishment they get. 50,000 years. And then... See, that's the Yawm al-Qiyamah. The day of judgment is a long day. You know, I used to ask myself the question, how many people have there ever been or living on the earth? I did some research. One scientist said, since the beginning, and look at Allah, he's such a magnificent creator. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبثا منهما رجال كثير ونساء.
And from Adam and his wife came countless men and women.
How many?
According to the scientists, 105 billion people. I started saying, well, if there had been 105 billion people living on earth, if each one of them going to be judged, except for 70,000, and if each one only took 1 minute for judgment, how long would the judgment take? Judgment is serious. You know the Muslim you ripped off for his money? You know, young brother, you stole from your grandmother? You stole from your mother and father when they were in the masjid and you pretended to go to the masjid for Jummah prayer? You know that money you stole? You got to count on Yom Kippur for that. You little guy, you silly little man, you. Young girl, you think you slick, sneaking out the house at midnight, don't think your mother and father know about it? Got little boys crawling in your house in your window, and you don't think your mother and father know about it? They don't know, but Allah knows. And you got paid for it. You went to college. Think mom and dad didn't see you. You're way down in college now. You're on your own. You're in your campus now. You can do what you want to do. You can get high. You can smoke reefer. You can have all the girls and all the boys you want. Nobody to account for. But guess what? Allah sees it, and it's written in your book. On Yom Kippur, you're going to be addressed in your book. I'lamu anna Allah shadidu liqab. Know that Allah is strong in punishment. Don't play with Allah. Don't play. I'll go see the girl tonight, and then I'll make tawbah. Allah knows. Wa anna Allah ghafur rahim. Thanks be to Allah. He's merciful and forgiving. The Prophet ﷺ said that if you come with Allah, a whole mountain of sin, and if you come to Him sincere and asking repentance, Allah will give you a mountain of forgiveness. See? So He balances out now. Severe in punishment, but guess what? Ghafur Rahim. He's forgiving and merciful. Don't you know that there are some people who will commit zina or Yom al-Qiyamah? Allah will mention to them, on such and such a day, you committed zina. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will either punish them or forgive them on that day. You don't know. But if I were you, I'm not taking a chance. We want to be like the Prophet ﷺ, who always made the dua and asked Allah for forgiveness. I want you to go away here today sober-minded and say, you know what? I got to get myself together. I don't have nothing made. There's a chance that Allah will punish me even before hellfire. He may punish me in the grave. He may punish me on that day of judgment, 50,000 years, and then punish me again in the hellfire. I make dua that Allah would forgive us our sins. I make dua that Allah will teach you to make dua for your sins. I ask Allah to make us to understand the weight of our wrongdoing and to guide us on Surat al-Mustaqim. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us. Give us our sins. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to imbue us with His knowledge of Himself. Make us to know Allah. Make us to know the Quran. Make us to know the Sunnah. Make us to love and follow the Quran and follow the Sunnah and follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our family bond strong. Make the strong relationships between husband and wife. Make this man a good husband to his wife. Make this man a good husband. Make this man a good husband to his wife. Make this man a good father to his children. Make this man a good provider for his children from other marriages. Make him be a survivor. Let this man be a provider for his children that he haven't seen in years. Help them to guide his children to Surat al-Mustaqim. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with wives
but taqwa, who fear Allah, who will produce children who fear Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this a strong ummah, make the family strong, then make the brotherhood strong. Make these brothers love one another, make the sisters love each other. Let this ummah be filled with Allah's love and His barakah. Make this community warm to others. Make this a community that go out and invite the people to Islam. Invite them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we ask Allah to help all the Muslims around the world who suffer. We ask Allah, please, to help the Muslims in Palestine. They are in desperate need of our help and your help. Oh Allah, help them to liberate Palestine. Help the Muslims to gather Al-Aqsa Masjid. Help us to get it again so we can visit all the Muslims around the world in the holy place of Al-Aqsa. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslims in Afghanistan. Make them examples for the people of the world that we can see the greatness of Afghanistan who fought jihad. Make them keep the struggle alive, but make them be shining examples, not to fight one another, but to bring the people under the guidance of Allah and His Messenger. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslims in Sudan. Enrich them. Enrich them and make them be fine examples for the Muslims around the world. Ask Allah to help the Muslims in the Islamic Republic of Pakistan. Make them be good examples in Karachi. Make them be good examples in Islamabad. Make them be good examples all over Pakistan. Make them a great nation. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the Muslims in Bangladesh, that poor nation. Make them to give for Allah's sake. Make them rich for Allah's sake. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help the Muslims in Bangladesh. Make them strong. Make them establish Islam in that country, all over the country. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help the Muslims in Iraq who suffer under the oppression of the American government. Help the children in Iraq. Feed them. Give them the medicines that they need. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, help the Muslims in Syria and Lebanon and Nigeria, in the Middle East, in Africa, in America, in the Caribbean. Help the Muslims in Trinidad. Help the Muslims in Senegal. Help the Muslims in Malaysia. Help the Muslims in Singapore. Help the Muslims in Indonesia. Yes, all over the world, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pour your strength on us. Make us strong believers, ready to establish your deen and to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ازواج محمد وعلى ذريه محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم والحمد لله رب العالمين قامت الصلاه